Everybody, it's Wednesday and Snipes and Stripes right here on NoFilter.net. I am so excited because Santa Claus is joining the show. Our New York Rangers Santa Claus app by Tim Peel. What's going on, buddy? You're obviously feeling very festive.
I am. Best time of year, brother. And I wore this hat in honor of our esteemed guest today, Bam Bam Barnaby. So I can't wait to, we got a lot to talk about.
Hey, by the way, how cool is it? Like, we've had some really good guests and guys that's given us great stories and great people to talk to. And then we get Barney. And we just never know where Barney's going to go. He's one of the most colorful, one of the greatest guys on the planet.
He's awesome.
I have formed an amazing relationship with this guy, and I just love him to death. First of all, let's thank Whiskey in the Wild, the best chocolate orange whiskey of all time. Go to whiskeyinthewild.com to get the best whiskey you will ever have, guaranteed. To Bet Online, we appreciate all the support that you give us. If you like making money, you like gambling, you want the best chance to win, Bet Online is the best place to go. And then our protected net guards, our famous Tim Peel, making sure that all of our kids are protected on the ice and having fun. And what you do with protected net guards, Tim, is amazing. So thanks to all of our sponsors. Because I'm going to get right into it. I don't know if maybe he's not there, but let him get knocked up in the queue again. And then we'll bring him in.
I have a question for you. Are you going to the Winter Classic?
I am coming to the Winter Classic. Okay. Yes. Yeah.
I will see you there because I'm taking Tish and the kids up.
Oh, that's fantastic. I think it's going to be it's going to be great. I mean, in Wrigley Field, I think having it at 4 o'clock on New Year's Eve is an amazing play by the league, by the way. Thank goodness they're doing that. I think to be able to have the sun go down right there over Wrigley Field, the temperature is going to be great. Maybe we might get a little bit of snow, but I always love the Winter Classic games, whether I played in the alumni games or whether I played in the
right. You know,
I never played an actual Winter Classic, but I covered a lot of them. Yes.
Yeah. I did the one at Wrigley Field back in 2009, and it was a tremendous experience. And then I did the one here in St. Louis in 2017, I think it was.
I was there.
Yeah. They're great, JR. You know what? People always say, oh, there's too many of them, blah, blah, blah. Well, tell that to the city that's hosting it, because the city that's hosting it loves it. They love it. And I think the players really enjoy it. So are you taking clients? Or is this all with the
– I don't know. I don't know what my – I know I'm going to go do something for Discover Card, which is going to be great. Yeah. A couple things for the city. I am yet waiting to find out what I'm going to do here for the Hawks, which I hope will be a number of different things. But, you know, this is my city. Chicago's my city. You know, I did a whiskey event last night. I was supposed to sign from 5 to 7. I stayed till 8 o'clock.
Right.
Signing whiskey bottles. People lined up outside the store. It was crazy. Yeah.
They love you there, brother. Hey, and you know what? Your Blackhawks are playing better.
They're playing good. I think they're finding ways of winning. I mean, listen, they've won 2 games in a row, but they've been competitive in a few. You know, I was saying today, how are they going to approach tomorrow's game? They're playing Seattle home.
Yeah.
They just got beat by Seattle last week. And what is going to be their mentality going into that game? Are they going to feel, okay, we owe them a shit kicking. They're in our building now. We're 1-2 games. We just did something really cool by coming back in the third period, scoring 3 goals.
Yeah.
Are they taking a breath of fresh air and saying, okay, the pressure's off? Or are they going to say, this is a chance for us to really start getting something going here a little bit?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. We'll see. You know, I obviously I haven't watched a ton of Blackhawk hockey because, let's be honest, it hasn't been very much fun to watch. So you know what, I'm just happy for the fans there. I'm happy for Bedard. I'm happy.
Well, we'll see.
Some good people there. So let's bring on.
What I say is, like, it hasn't been a lot of fun to watch the Hawks maybe, but it hasn't been much fun to watch the Buffalo Sabres either. And I think, I think our guest right here, Matthew Barnaby, will be a really good guy to talk to and say, what the hell is going on in Buffalo?
Unbelievable.
Right? Like, what is going on? Because it's like, there's such teases, right? They're the king team of teases, because they look so good at one stretch, and then all of a sudden, you know, they come terrible in another, right? So I just don't get it. I don't get it.
I know.
You know, what's, but it's just, I think it's a mentality. There's my buddy, Matthew Barnaby.
What's up? I'm not going to lie. It was tough. Maybe I'm in the Florida mindset. Everything's a little delayed here. How are the boys?
I'm awesome, buddy. I wore my Rangers Christmas hat for you today, buddy.
Oh man, it reminds me of the time when we played the Islanders right around this time of year, and the Santa Claus is spot on the ice in between intermissions. There was like 100 Santa Clauses on. We were in the island, and they had this contest. Everyone came down wearing Santa outfits. And five dummies from the Rangers stripped their Santa Claus outfits open, and it was a melee. But five guys against like 95, not bright.
How come you were involved in that melee?
Man, we were trying to get out there. We heard all the like ruckus from the crowd, so we all like ran into the tunnel. Obviously, it's hard to see, and you know the Long Island, you have to run around to the side, into the corner. We're looking out, and we're like, now we're laughing. It was the funniest thing ever. So those guys went at it pretty good.
What are you doing in Florida?
Just escaping the cold, man.
Yeah.
And it's cold in Canada, cold where my kids live in Buffalo. So no, I don't want to see snow ever again in my life, ever. It's
not that cold in Buffalo. It's kind of hot there right now.
I know. It's like +7, but
No. I mean with the team.
Listen, all you dummies haven't figured it out yet, right?
No, yeah.
There are places that you can live, even though they're higher taxes, but the weather is perfect.
No, like, I know. Listen, Canada is a great spot. The Canadian dollar dipped below 70 cents since first time since 2002. That's a story for another day. Market's getting killed right now. But yes, there's a lot better places to live than Canada.
Hey, by the way, that'll all change when Canada becomes the 51st state in the United States, buddy.
Hey, dude, I'm all for it. Hey, I'm all for it. We have an idiot for a prime minister. I'm all for it.
They're all bailing on him yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
Good. They all should bail on him. Every single Canadian should bail on him, just like every single American is bailing on Joe Biden, which is amazing.
JR, how was the? Oh yeah, Biden. Bye bye, bye bye. Go to sleep.
Yeah.
How was the golf thing?
The golf was actually a lot of fun. I mean, it was probably so. Just so everybody understands, we had the first pro amateur tournament down in. Down in Florida. It was the probably the best run tournament I've ever seen. We had a locker room for the NHL team that rivals any NHL locker room that I've ever been in. The ability to go in and, you know, all the lights in your stalls, our names are all lit up. We had a bartender with a bartender in a bar from 8 a.m. to 11 at night. We had a cigar lounge. We had a television lounge. It was like one of the most incredible locker rooms I've ever seen. The Pro Cup was spectacular. Unfortunately, the hockey players didn't play as well as we should have. We placed third. Baseball won it. But we, again, hockey players showed we have more fun than anybody else, because we closed our locker room every single night. So it was either on the golf course or in the locker room, and there was nothing else. So
doesn't surprise me.
No, it does not. But we had a great time. Maisie, I think Maisie, our friend Maisie, had more fun there than he's ever had in his life, and was sad to leave. But it was great. It was great.
Was Mulder playing in that?
Yeah, Mulder played. Yeah, they had a baseball team, had a bomb of a team. Yeah, and I got to say, we ran into some buzzsaws. We played a guy named Fred McCrary from the NFL. I've never even heard of the guy, right? I've never even heard of the guy. But holy shit, did this guy make putts. He shot like one under or even par in his own ball and one putted 7 to 9 holes in our match. Mm-hmm. Can't beat that, you know? It was impressive. It was... Yeah, it was
Tim
a great.
Tim Ron, right?
It was at Innsbruck in Tampa.
Oh,
yeah, Innsbruck in Tampa. They did a great job. It was really spectacular. But awesome. Next year you got to come. Get your golf game in line and come with us next year. Okay.
Got to get a little better.
So Barney, what team are you following right now? So what team? I know you've played for a lot of teams. I know you do a lot of television. You have podcasts. You do all this stuff. But what's the one team? And I know we've talked about Buffalo. If there's not a team that is more frustrating in all of sports, if definitely hockey, that's more frustrating than Buffalo, maybe that's where you go. But what team do you follow the most?
I'd say it's the Eastern Conference just because that's the coast that I'm on for the most part. So I follow Ottawa, and I always love who's your favorite team? I don't have a favorite team, mm-hmm. but I like seeing guys that are coaches or GMs that I played with that I liked do well. I think we're all that way. We want our peers and friends that we like to have success in whatever they're doing, making money, their teams having success. I like Ottawa to do well because the bars, the restaurants, people are making more money. People are more vibrant. I like to see the Buffalo Bills do well in football because I like Buffalo people. I have a lot of people that own bars and restaurants and making money. And Buffalo, it's been, 13 years since the Sabres have made the playoffs. I want them to do well. Everyone's like, oh, you're always fucking harping on the Buffalo Sabres and you're jealous. I'm like, they don't pay me anything. I haven't done anything with the Buffalo Sabres in 13 years. I like Terry Pegula. He's nice. I want them to do well.
Yeah.
But you guys, I'm going to be very honest and I'm going to be very forthright in my assessment of how they do business, how they play. And when you haven't made the playoffs, I'm a New York Jets fan. We haven't made the playoffs for 14 fucking years. The GM is gone. The coach is gone. Defensive coordinator probably will be gone. And everyone's harping on the owner. Why? It's the exact same thing that the Buffalo Sabres are going through. And it pains me.
Yeah. What do you think the main, obviously there are a lot of issues, but there's got to be there's got to be a main issue.
Well, the main issue is the ownership, right? Like if we're going to go back to it, you don't go, it's going to be 14 years. Everyone's like, oh, you're so negative. Like they're out of the playoffs. It's we're into December. I'm like, they got no fucking chance of making the playoffs.
No
zero. Chance. They had zero before yesterday.
And you think that goes to ownership?
I think it starts with ownership. It starts. When it's been 14 years, and let me give you a backstory. Let's go back 11 years ago, 12 years ago, up to about, let's say, 7 years ago. Kim Pegula, and she's had medical issues that I'm like Kim Pegula, I like Terry Pegula. But listen, when you're president, who's essentially Kim Pegula, the wife, Terry Pegula, who's the owner, are signing players like Christian Eroff to $40 million.
Yep.
And Ville Leino to $27 or $29 million. And you have people inside that organization, and I know this is fact. This isn't me making up some make-believe fugazi Matthew McConaughey. This isn't a fugazi. This is fact. They were the ones pushing for Christian Eroff. They were the ones pushing for Ville Leino. Management team did not want any part of that. No part of it. Mm. They pushed for that.
Well,
Ville Leino had 3 goals in 3 years. Or
something. Can I, before you start, Tim, can I tell you one of my most embarrassing things that ever happened to me?
Sure.
So it's in Philly, it's the draft. It's probably seven years ago and 8 years ago. And I'm there because of Brendan Lemieux. He's friends. Claude's a friend of mine. Family's been a friend. Brendan's my son's best friend.
Yeah.
So we were at the draft waiting for him to get drafted because he was thinking that he's going to go first round. He actually went first pick in the second round to the Buffalo Sabres.
Yeah.
So we all go up into the Buffalo suite and everything's great. We're saying hi to everybody. We're celebrating Brendan Lemieux getting drafted number 32 at the time, and I start talking to Kim Pegula. Hey, congratulations. Hope everything's going great for you. I said, I love what you and your dad are doing in Buffalo.
No. Oh my God.
That's great.
She goes, he's my husband. I said, good luck. Nice seeing you. Good luck. Thank you very much. I left. I walked out of there. I'm like, you idiot. Like, you idiot. Why did you open up your big mouth?
She's done an amazing job. And you guys know.
Yeah, I felt so bad. I wanted to walk into Kim and say, I'm really sorry I did that. That's so wrong.
You're telling her she looks really young.
Well, she does. Of course she does.
If you ever see a girl that maybe a little chunky, don't ask her how many months pregnant she is. Because I asked that for Glenn Parker, who was center of the Bills when I was 19 years old. And she had delivered like 2.5 months earlier.
Oh,
and her husband's 360 pounds. Like,
yeah. I had to tell you that.
Story. Never again. I can see a girl that's ready to pop tomorrow.
Me too.
And I will never say a word.
No.
Ever.
No, I will not do it any. I will not judge on relationships ever again, because that was terrible. I felt so bad. So, though, Kim Pegula, if you're watching, this is my apology to you. I'm sorry.
And I have to say, like, they're nice people. Listen, they're multi-billionaires. They're not dumb people.
Listen, for what they've done for hockey, look, they helped Penn State build all the Penn State, right? So, I mean, they're hockey fans, and they are great. So, but it comes down to the ice, man. And
listen, Kim Pegula has done an amazing job with the attraction of Buffalo downtown, with the Marriott and Canal Side, and the connection to the rink, and them helping the Junior Sabres become an elite program. You're not, and I said this around 7 or 8 years ago. I've flown on probably 1,000 planes in my life.
Yeah.
It doesn't qualify me to fly a 747 plane. I know where the gadgets are.
Yeah.
Because I've flown 1,000 times doesn't give me the ability to fly a 747.
Yeah, I wouldn't let you in there anyway.
They've seen probably 1,000 games. It doesn't give them the ability to make trades or sign players. Do what you're good at.
Yeah.
Hey, take care of community relations, Kim, Terry. Fucking frack some oil and make billions of dollars. That's what you're good at. You're not good at running a hockey franchise. You're not good at hiring people. So, long-winded answer, it starts with ownership. Now, listen. Okay, since they've owned the team, Lindy Ruff, Rolston, Nolan, he was brought in to tank and as a favorite of Pat LaFontaine, Bylsma, Housley, Kruger, Granato, Ruff again. You go through that many coaches, the GMs that they've went through during that time, the players that have left now lately, I'm going to put on Kevin Adams, because now we're talking about, O'Reilly. He was a cancer to this team. Disgusting what he's bringing. Oh, yeah. Stanley Cup champion, Conn Smythe winner.
Yeah.
Sam Reinhart. Huh. I want out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Stanley Cup champion, almost 60 goals. Jack Eichel. Okay. We don't want to do this surgery for you. You're going to do it this way. The whole fiasco that went down with Jack Eichel, second overall pick, a star in the league. Trade him to Vegas. Stanley Cup champion. So, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over again, expecting a different result. All these guys want out.
Yeah.
Everyone wants out because everyone knows. Listen, we know Pat LaFontaine. Pat LaFontaine is a great guy. Thank God he got out when he did. Because there was no control. He had just a position. But he saw what was happening.
This is what I see, Barney, is when you look at the other GMs around the league, very successful experience. I'm not saying that a rookie GM can't come in and do the job, but the last two GMs they've had, Jason Botterill, not a sexy pick to me at the time, Kevin Adams, and this isn't a personality, this isn't shitting on, this is, listen, it's talking about being somebody being qualified. Kevin Adams was running the hockey program, as at the Harbor Center there.
Yeah.
and had befriended the Pegulas because of the hockey program. And all of a sudden he gets promoted from running this hockey program at the Harbor Center to being the GM of the Buffalo Sabres. And I'm sorry,
it's fucking wild is what it is.
You can't have billionaire owners bringing in, bringing in weak GMs that they can control. They're not going to control a Doug Armstrong here in St. Louis. They're not going to control a Jim Rutherford. They're not going to control a lot of other guys in this league. And that's the problem. And it is a shit show right there, right now, because you saw it the other day, his whole Kevin Adams about he was blaming the people, them not being able to get players because we don't have palm trees and so on. Like their franchise right now is in a fucking mess. It is a disaster right now.
It's the worst it's been in the last 14 years.
It is.
It's the worst because now guys are going to start asking out again.
Yeah, they are.
You know, and Tage Thompson is a great player.
Great player.
Alex Tuck is a good player. They have – Dahlin's a very good player. Are guys like Owen Power overpaid? Yeah. Now, the one caveat in the whole thing, and Lindy Ruff, I didn't get along with him. We bashed heads, but mostly my fault because I was probably a little hurt that they got rid of Ted Nolan and unfairly, unjust, whatever. It was a business. Yep. But I was young at the time. I loved Teddy Nolan, and I didn't give him a chance. He's a good coach. Now, it's a lot easier. I'm going to bring it back to football again. I'm a New York Jets fan. We haven't had a true quarterback, in 30 years. Okay? Haven't had a quarterback in 30 years. A true number one quarterback. But we haven't made the playoffs in 14 years. He had Dominic Hasek, who I believe is the best goaltender of all time, for a long time. Covered up a lot of inabilities to defend, but he was that good. Then he had Ryan Miller, or the Buffalo Sabres had Ryan Miller. Now, you haven't had that in 14 years. You haven't had these guys. So you need a great goaltender or a very good goaltender to compete and make the playoffs. Or you better be very, very, very good defensively. In the last 11 games, they've been awful. And I could throw the New York Rangers in because I've watched a bunch of their games. They are putrid in their own zone and especially close to the blue lines, getting pucks in, getting pucks out. They're putrid, which you turn a puck over at a blue line, it's going back the other way really quickly, especially when you're like 5-10 feet inside your own zone. So all those things are a culmination. And Kevin Adams has to shoulder a lot of blame. To blame it on palm trees and this and that, yes. Come on. We've had teams in the West Coast for a long time.
Yeah.
We've had teams in Florida for a long time. And I've played on some Buffalo Sabres teams that were pretty fucking good. And the teams after me that were pretty fucking good.
Yep.
Making an environment. The difference is ownership.
Yeah, the problem is they don't create the environment within their locker
room. No. And you know what? Listen, I'm not shouldering the blame from any of the players either. Goaltending hasn't been good enough. And leaders obviously aren't big enough a personality.
This is what I think. There comes a time, and I think it's, and I learned this from talking to Rick Tockett about the Arizona Coyotes at the time. Obviously now they're in Utah, and I hope that mentality changes in the locker room. But there comes a time in a team where they accept losing, right? Accepting losing is very, very hard to change a dynamic because it becomes a cancer. When you accept losing and when it's okay to leave and still feel the same way, go through your day the same way, have the same attitude that you have, that if you won, if you lost, you're in trouble.
So it's an unbelievable point because we've played on teams where you don't, and you've played on teams probably where they did. And when I was in Buffalo, If we lost three games in a row, fuck,
it's hell.
Sure, Maisie might fight in the room.
Like, it's hell. Isn't
you're
it hell?
Fucking, and you're still your boys. You're still Curtis Brown, who's one of my favorite guys I've ever played
with. And one of the most God-fearing, greatest people in the world.
He's a born-again Christian. He was my roommate for 10 years. I love the guy. Complete polar opposite of me.
Yeah.
I had fuck you, I was frig you with him when he'd come back at me. But we challenge each other.
Yeah.
Like, we got to be better. And I'm going to tell Razor, you got to be better. You got to step up here. And he's going to come right back at me. You got to be better. And then everyone's like, I got to be better. But that's an internal pressure that I don't see from the Buffalo Sabres. When your owner flies into Montreal, a shitty hockey team. I mean, a shitty. We could put an alumni team over 50 years old right now, and we wouldn't lose by that many goals. And if we did, they'd lay a beating on the other team, and at least it would be eventful.
Well, but he not only flies up, Bernie, and you know, gives them a vote of confidence and so on. Montreal scores 19 seconds into the game.
Oh, like how?
How are you not ready? How are you not ready?
How embarrassing!
By the way, how do you go into Montreal Forum and not have a sense of awe going into Montreal Forum, right? Even though it's not the Forum, but still Montreal.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's seeing all the jerseys, all the history, and you, like, how can you not be excited and ready to play a hockey game? To them, I don't know. Is it just another rink? It's just another arena? It's just another game? I really don't.
Well,
how do you turn a puck night like 14 seconds in? Like, have a defined mentality,
right,
of how you're going to play that game that night. Like, everyone's like, Twitter is like, oh, this is a 10-unit play. No way Sabres lose. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? Have you watched this team in the last 10 games? There's a good chance they lose this game. You know what? They're going to lose to the Leafs again tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to lose to the Leafs. This team isn't good. How do you turn a puck over 14 seconds into the game? Then Owen Power comes up. Then he got unlucky break. I think it went off the ref's skate and jumped over his stick, whatever. But it shouldn't even have been there. And then you compound it by taking penalties, and Lion A gets into a spot and they set him up. Like, it's embarrassing, but it's just a trickle down effect of what these guys went through.
You know what? Terry Pegula should have saved his gas money from the airplane and given the money to the boys. They should have had a team party at Chez Paris the night.
Absolutely.
That's what they should have done. They should have gone to Chez Paris and hung out there till 2 in the morning. Play guilty instead of being in your hotel room drinking protein shakes. I don't know. Like, something's got to change there, because it's not fair to the Buffalo fans. I feel so bad because you played there, Bernie. Those fans are the best.
I don't think you can't blame it on a roster. They have some really pretty darn good players on that roster. They really do. I've seen teams win with worse rosters than that.
Do you know what they're playing though? They're playing pond hockey right now.
Yeah.
They're not physical.
No.
But again. How do you play pond hockey when you haven't made the playoffs for 13 years?
That's leadership, man. It's leadership in the room. Yeah, I think in the last 11
How does leadership look? How does leadership look today in the locker room? How does it look?
Honestly, it's been so long that I've been in there, but it's not what I'm seeing. Like, I'd be challenged. Like, I'd be coming like, oh, I'm embarrassed. No, I'm fucking mad.
Yeah.
Fucking cult. Call yourself out. Call guys out. Has their goaltending been great? No. I think their average is like 890 save percentage. But still, last 11 games during this losing streak, they're first in danger zones, danger chances four. And they are number one in danger chances against. That's pond hockey. Yep. And they're not good enough. They're not good enough to play pond hockey.
No.
They aren't the Red Wings of the 90s.
And they're not good enough. They're not good enough to not be prepared to start at 7 o'clock.
No. Like,
well, listen, the other team that we want to talk about, the two teams in New York State. This is I'm going to give you my theory, and then I want you to tell me what you think, Bernie, of what's going on with the Rangers. So I don't blame Laviolette. It's not the coaching. It's not the goaltending. I think it's the way that Chris Drury, he let Barkley Goodrow go, put him on waivers. Guy was really well respected within that dressing room. the way they dealt with Trouba, I think, was atrocious. It was embarrassing for that organization.
Wow, did you see Trouba's rant on Chris?
Oh, yeah.
Dude, they treated him like shit. You're the captain of the New York Rangers, and you either take the trade or we're gonna send you to the minors, put you on waivers.
Yeah.
Like, and I'm telling you, that has resonated through that dressing room right now, and I don't think they want to play for anybody right now, and I don't know what they're going to do.
Well, that'll be part of the next CBA for sure. You know, no movement clause, no trade clause. Their way around it is putting a guy on waivers.
Right.
It's done before.
Right.
We've seen it. It's certainly going. When you do that to your captain, like, and Trouba, whether he's worth the money or not, he plays fucking hard.
Yeah, he does.
He plays hard.
By the way, he plays it properly.
Plays hard, plays fair. He answers the bell. He answered the bell. He got his ass kicked a couple weeks ago because he laid out the kid in Montreal. And then the first game back against Montreal,
Jack
laid an absolute beating on him.
Yeah.
But he showed up.
Yeah.
And why? Because he stood up and he answered the bell for his teammates, for himself. So no one else had to do it. And you got to appreciate that. The way they fucking handle that. Listen, James Dolan for the Rangers. I mean, you talk about a fucking wing nut.
Yeah, he is.
And bringing in Sean Avery to maybe be, Sean Avery's not going to be the GM.
I was going to ask you about that.
Sean Avery's not going to be the fucking GM of the New York Rangers. You want to talk about a guy that wants to fly a 747 and he's on a fucking tricycle? That's Sean Avery.
I didn't even see what they did. You couldn't have a fucking worse hire.
But update JR Barney on that.
I guess James Dolan called Sean Avery and asked him to fly in to talk about the New York Rangers and where they're at, everything that's going on with them. This was on the Spit and Chicklets podcast with Biz and Wit. There's no fucking way this guy. Again, you talk about guys that aren't. He's never been in management. Listen, I've never been in management. I know what I would do, but there's a lot that goes into being a GM. I'd be ready for a coach. I think going back to even Kevin Adams. Kevin Adams to be a good assistant coach in the National Hockey League. He's
right.
A good guy.
Yep.
He was an okay player.
Yep.
And he worked hard.
Yep.
He's an assistant coach in the National Hockey League. He's not a fucking GM.
Sean Avery
would be a good assistant coach in the, but he wouldn't accept that because he'd treat people like shit because he's a piece of shit. But besides that, what qualifications does he have with cap management, draft? Like, you gotta spend time. Like, listen, I think I know the market because I follow the market every fucking day. I'm not Warren Buffett. I know that.
Yeah.
Merrill Lynch isn't hiring me to handle $12 billion worth of assets.
Yeah.
Like, this is ludicrous.
No, like Alexander Steen is shadowing Doug Armstrong here in St. Louis for 2 years before he takes over. Like, it's a process.
I think it always goes back. And Tim, you said it's not the coach. I'm going to question whether it's not the coach. I mean, I think Tim, listen, Listen, we understand Tim Laviolette. I know him. I've known Tim for a long time. He was my roommate. He was my roommate in 1987 at the Olympic trials. Okay. I love this guy. He's great. But he's not your prototypical 2024 coach. He's tough. You know what you're gonna get from him. He's ornery. He always has that look on his face. I could see players of today getting sick of playing for a guy like him because he's old school. He's old school.
Lindy Ruff is old school. I think he's adjusted a little bit more. But again, I'm not in that room.
I mean, I don't know.
For 14 saying. Years straight, when we do our projections at the start of the year, guys. If you don't pick a team to be in the playoffs, then it's probably on management because they haven't built a good enough roster. I haven't picked the Sabres to be in the playoffs, even when they signed Babcock, the Leafs.
Yeah, but you, here you got a team like the Rangers who are going great, right?
The Rangers great.
And then all of a sudden,
for a Stanley Cup.
The players are revolting against someone.
I think they're revolting against Drury. And you don't win the President's Cup last year, and now they look like they're a shell of what they were. You don't win the President's Cup. So was Gerard Gallant the problem? He, like, they fired him to bring in Lavi. I don't know. I think
either way, if you pick a team to not be in the playoffs, okay, let's take the Buffalo Sabres. It's not on the players, because we're saying the team isn't good enough to be a playoff team. Should they be better than they are and not lose 11 in a row? Absolutely. But if I'm sitting there and a bunch of analysts are sitting there that know the game and say, it's not a playoff team, 14 years in a row, whose fault is that? It's not the players. Should they be better? Yes. But it's on the coaches. It's on management mostly, because we're saying this roster isn't good enough to be a playoff team. And that's what I've said 14 years straight about the Buffalo Sabres.
See, what's funny is Chaser, I was visiting him this morning. He likes this team. And you know what he said to me? He goes, if they had a Shannon O'Reilly and maybe one more guy there with leadership, he goes, I think they would compete for a Stanley Cup. Now, you know,
in fairness, are those guys going to play goal too every night?
See, I don't think he's a bad goalie.
I don't think he's bad. I just don't think he's great enough for the way that they play hockey. Whereas the New York Rangers are a bigger disappointment, because I don't have the Sabres in the playoffs at the start of the year. Right. I have New York contending for a fucking cup, or the President's Cup, or the Stanley Cup.
And they just signed a goaltender for the highest contract in the goaltender history.
They have a great goaltender. His save percentage, guys, I think is 910 or 912 or something. That's a number that's it's average, but it's still good enough to win on a consistent basis. I'm with you. Either it's Drury or Laviolette. I don't know which one, but I watched enough Ranger games to know they're fucking putrid.
Yeah, they are.
Defensively.
Well, I didn't know Keandre Miller was a forward for a long time until they converted him to a defenseman late before he got drafted, but he looks lost out there. I just don't see any heart. I don't see – Zibanejad looks like he needs to take a month off and get his head – cleared, because it's a mess right now, and I don't know what the end game is. I think guys are pissed off at Drury, and Nolan, is it Nolan?
Dolan.
He's a wing nut. Like, it wouldn't even surprise me if all of a sudden says Drury's fired and Sean Avery's the GM. Like, Matthew, you know how crazy he is. Like,
who knows
what he's gonna do.
Dolan, and he's worth what, $10 billion? I wouldn't pay James Dolan $50 a week to walk my dog.
Yeah. Well, it's all daddy's
money. He didn't make $10 fucking billion dollars, guys.
No, his dad did.
His dad made $10 billion. He's part of the Lucky Sperm Club, if in all honesty.
Yeah.
Like, he came out of a penis, and he's got $10 billion. Like, yeah. This guy's not Elon Musk or Mark Zuckerberg or Bill Gates. Like, I have so many stories on James Dolan from when I played in New York. And listen, he was always very nice to me. But listen, this is not a rocket scientist we're talking about. And anyone that was part of the 01 to 04 Rangers when I was there, wow, we saw some shit.
Well, and the Rangers lost to Nashville last night. Like, I saw them here in St. Louis. Then they have a day off. They go to Nashville, lose 2-0. We'll get into Nashville here in a bit, because I can't understand what's going on there either. But I watched some of that game last night, and they're just playing disinterested. There's no, like, okay, when's this game over? Let's get back on the plane and get back. That's what I'm seeing when I see the Rangers.
That's a great point you just said. It almost seems like hockey is an inconvenience,
right?
3 hours for some of these guys in the course of their life, right? It's an inconvenience to be at the rink playing in a game for 2.5 hours when that's where they make all their money.
Yeah, when because, you're making like,
yeah. Because, you know, you talk about Buffalo last night or the other night going into Montreal and making that mistake 14 seconds in the game. That's a team who literally, when they wake up in the morning, they don't think about the game. When they go to sleep, they don't think about the game. When they're going to the rink in the bus, they're not thinking about the game. They put their skates on, they tape their stick, and they go on the ice without any visualization whatsoever, without understanding how hard it's going to be or how much work has to go in or thinking about who is the guy that's coming after me or who I have to go after or the situation if I get the puck. There's no preparation mentally going into that game. So as soon as that puck drops and everything happens so quick, it's like, oh God.
Yeah.
They're not ready. And yeah. I think that happens every single game with so many players today, which is why we don't see like hockey like we used to. We see passes from behind the net that get thrown up the boards all the way up to the far blue line. They chip it in and let's go chase it and hope we get a little bit of offensive zone time. There's no technical thought process behind everything, or at least it's really frustrating. It's really, really frustrating. And for me, again, we go into what happens in the locker rooms, boys? Like
that's the thing of like, we were both very emotional players. Obviously you're a Hall of Famer. Congrats again. I remember sending you a text.
Yeah. So, thank you, buddy. I love you.
I've been a proponent of you getting in for so long, as you know, and we've gotten to know each other since I'd say the last 10 years.
Yeah.
Love you, buddy. I'm so proud of you.
Thank you. But
we're emotional players. Mm-hmm. Like when you've lost 11 in a row, where's the fucking emotion?
Yeah. And there are guys in there. Like, listen, there are the Connor McDavids. There are the McKinnons. There are the
Brady Kachuk wouldn't be standing for this right now.
No.
Hey,
by the way, there's rumors of Brady Kachuk is at his wit's end, you know, and rumors of him getting traded to Rangers that who knows, maybe he's sparking. I mean, I don't know. Is it time that the Rangers make a deal?
He wants to win, and they're playing much better now.
Yeah, they are.
Ullmark's playing well. This is a different team. Everyone asked me at the start of the year, Sabres, Detroit, or Ottawa? Ottawa will be the playoff team if it's between those three.
Yeah.
And Brady's a big part of that.
100%.
But now they have a goaltender that can stop a fucking puck.
Exactly.
Buffalo
used to have that goaltender.
Yeah, it's a great point too, because you know when you do have that mentality in the locker room, like, and I've said this before, I think Buffalo goes into a game hoping they're going to win, and instead of knowing they're going to win, they go in hope, right? Yeah. And hope is a good thing, but not when you want to win.
Yeah.
And they're so fragile, right? Because when you have accepted losing, if one little thing goes wrong, it's like dominoes. Everything falls apart. There's no mental capacity to overcome a bad play, like a bad goal.
Yeah.
Okay, you're talking about a goaltender who can save a team or can win a game by themselves or makes that big save when they need it that gives the confidence. The team plays better or different in front of them. When you have a goaltender like Buffalo has that you're waiting on pins and needles. You're on the bench. You're like, and all of a sudden you have a softy go in, and all of a sudden everybody on the bench goes, here we go again.
Yeah.
But like you have your top six. The top six is always going to be the same, whether it's the 80s, the 90s, the 2000s. Like your top six guys are your star players. They're the best players on the team. But there's no defined role in the third and fourth line of the Sabres. Like when you look at them, if we talk just the Sabres in general.
They're interchangeable.
They change like 5 out of 6 guys there. They're all
kids. By the way, sometimes they're interchangeable to where I had this conversation with Rive and Peters at one point. And they're like, just like they're talking about Cousins and they're talking about Power and how brutal that they've been. I just said, sit him in the rafters, send him down. They're like, no, you can't do that. And it's for me, it's not about money. It's about creating a mentality. Bring a young kid up, right?
Someone's hungry.
He might not be as talented, but you might see more hunger. you might see a different player. You might see a player that's harder to play against that Owen Power might watch or Cousins might watch, right? And say, whoa, I gotta get going.
Power was bad last night.
Yeah. Well, and they let a guy like Evan Rodriguez go too. I always liked that kid. He went on to win a Stanley Cup. Yep. Hey, listen, before we talk about any more hockey, a funny story. So I'm visiting Chaser this morning, like I said, and he's like, hey, I see you got Bernie coming on today. Can you, because, you know, listen, Chaser is great at telling stories, but sometimes I don't know.
He's the best.
So can you tell me the Stu Grimson story?
Oh, fuck.
He told me and I was buckled over laughing.
Oh my God. No, this one's
I haven't heard it, so I'm excited.
Oh man. Okay, I'm gonna try to keep it as short as I can for you guys. My rookie year, I probably played 20 games, and it's in Old Hartford.
Yeah.
I'm with Buffalo, obviously, and I'm doing an interview with Fox. Guys talking. Now, I don't know any of this is happening, okay?
Yeah.
I'm doing an interview with Fox, whatever. I'm going to try to do it just from so I don't ruin the story. I'm doing the interview before the game, before the warm-up, whatever. I get out to warm up, and Stu Grimson is fucking standing at the red line. I've never met Stu Grimson. I've never played against Stu Grimson. I just came up from the American League. Like, I don't even know if I played in the American. I probably just came up from junior because I went to the NHL before I got sent down to the American League. And he's fucking kicking it like a fucking bull, just on the plates. And I'm like, what the fuck? Stu Grimson's 6'5", 250. Yeah. I'm 170 pounds, soaking wet.
Yeah.
Go in, Razor's like, what the fuck? What the fuck is he doing? I'm like, I don't know. He goes, what did you do? I go, I did nothing. Like, fucking nothing. So I go out. First shift, I come around. I don't know who was on the ice for them. But I guess Stu, Paul Maurice was the coach.
Yeah.
Young guy, right? Like 29 years old. But Stu grabs whoever it was, and he jumps over, and he starts chasing me around the ice. I'm like, fuck off. Like, who the fuck are I'm not fighting you.
Yeah.
Like, no chance. I want to play. Whatever. Second shift, same thing. This went on all game. All game long. I don't know if we're up or they're up, whatever, at the end of the game. I'm on the, like, last shift of the game. And I got the puck, okay? And he comes right at me. I just dumped the puck in the corner. Someone's up by a few goals. And I just got away, and he's chasing me around. So I'm like, what the fuck? That's my first year.
Yeah.
Okay? Well, take this times. He played on the West Coast. In Chicago, we didn't play against each other a lot. I end up fighting him when I'm in L.A. and he's in Pittsburgh, and he lays a beating on. Okay? Again, he's chasing me around for 10 years. I fight him, but I'm like, I'm not fighting Stu. Like, I want to play, whatever. Or I'm going to fight him on my terms. Fast forward 10 years. I'm working at SiriusXM on the radio, hosting my show with Steve Coolius. My producer's in my ear. Got a caller on line 5. Hello? Caller, he's like, hey, Barney, this is the Grim Reaper, Stu Grimson. I'm like, hey. I've still never met Stu Grimson. And he's like, I have to apologize for you.
Yeah.
I'm like, why? He's like, well, you remember that first year that I chased you around and looked at you in warm up and was like telling you I'm gonna fucking kill you? And I'm like, I still can't sleep, Stu. He goes, well, that was Kelly Chase's fault. I'm like, now I've seen Kelly so many times since. He told Stu that he overheard me in an interview on Fox before the game.
Yeah.
saying he didn't understand why Hartford just traded for a shitty hockey player like Stu Grimson. He's not that tough. He's not good at hockey and whatever. And I'm like, Stu, I never said any of that. He goes, oh, I know. Stu finally came clear. He forgot to tell me after, and he went on forever. Like, forever. Now I love Stu. I do events with Stu, and it's funny because this went on for, God, 25 years.
Yeah.
25 fucking years. A guy named the Grim Reaper has wanted to kill me.
Wrong guy went after you.
No reason after. So now I do events with him. And just like JR, who we had our battles and we had fun. Yeah. And I respect the shit out of Stu Grimson and what he had to do. So now I do like an event in Philly or Moncton or Chicago, whatever it may be. And he'd be like, hey, Barney, I see you're on the lineup. Just want you to know I love you. And how are your kids? And then at the end of the event, he's like, he calls me Sweet Barnes. He's like, you're so sweet. He's like, bye, Sweet Barnes. Have a Merry Christmas. I love you. I'm like, this is not, first of all, the fucking Stu Grimson I knew. And second of all, I hate Kelly Chase. I fucking hate him.
Nathan was telling me and I was buckled over.
Oh, what a shit disturber, Kelly. Kelly's always been a shit disturber.
Oh, so my God.
Leave it to him, right?
And he said Chaser knew, somebody else in the team knew. And Chaser says, I'm laughing on the bench and somebody else is laughing with me. And Maurice is like, can you guys tell me what the fuck is so
funny? Yeah, exactly.
Can you guys tell me, can you guys let me in on the joke? And Stu's going over the bench every time Barney's coming
every up. Time, just trying to fucking get at me.
I love it. That's fantastic.
I knew I was in trouble when we fought, when I punched him right in the face and he didn't budge.
Stu?
Yeah. And then our coach tried to like interchange me and they sent Yager on to like take my spot so I didn't have to fight him. There's 18,000 people. I'm like, all right, this is the time. I'm like, go back. He's like, no, Barney, I come on. I'm like, no, I'm gonna fight him. Yeah, go to YouTube. It's not a good one. He's pretty tough.
Yeah, I played with Stu in Chicago and you know, he hated fighting. He hated fighting. And every time something happened to me in a game, he would put his head down. And because he knew Keenan was coming to him, putting his hand on his shoulder and sending, and he'd be like, okay. And he'd go out and he'd say, we're going to fight now. And the guy goes, I'm not fighting you. And Stu goes, I'm sorry, but you have to fight. And Stu would fill him in. And then they'd go to the bench and Stu would go, hey, buddy, are you okay? I'm really sorry about that, man. I'm really sorry.
Getting to know him is like getting to know you. Great human, obviously very tough, articulate, smart, thoughtful.
Oh, so smart. And by the way, one of the best guys on television that there is.
He's great.
If you ask me.
Oh, like, yep. He's super intelligent.
Yes. Speaking of super intelligent, who's the best? Who is the best player you ever played with?
It's got to be Mario.
Yeah. Amazing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, Mario, even though I played with him after 2.5 years, listen, he scored, I think, 4 points when he came back after 2.5 years of Hodgkin's and his back problems and all that. I've been fortunate to play with so many Hall of Famers and, you know, go to Dominic Hasek, who I think is the best goaltender of all time. And I've told you guys before, fucking hate the guy.
Yeah.
Piece of shit person, but unbelievable, unbelievable goalie. Best of all time. LaFontaine was unbelievable. Another guy that should be in the Hall of Fame is Alexander McGillney. He should be in the Hall. Great person, great player. Then I went, you know, to so many different spots. Marty St. Louis was a great player. Yager played on the line with Messier. Brian Leetch, so underrated for people that weren't in. Leetchie is one of the best. Sakic, Forsberg, Kariya, Solani.
That's the best generation of all time.
That's unbelievable, eh?
Yeah. I've been very fortunate to play with a lot, and it's funny. Like all great leaders in their own right. Everyone's different. Yeah. Some people are. Like, you take like a Joe Sakic, right? Great leader, doesn't say a lot.
Class.
A great leader, doesn't say a lot.
Class.
Time to be said. Patty LaFontaine's the exact same way, and you know, not everyone's a rah-rah guy like me and JR. Yeah. Everyone leads by their own different way. But I've been so fortunate to play with so many great, great players that I love on and off the ice. And Mario to me is the best hockey player of all time until Connor McDavid came along. And that's just the evolution of, yeah, of the game. Mario's unbelievable, man.
Did you ever see a time where that we would actually see maybe Wayne Gretzky's goal mark being eclipsed?
No.
I mean, this is pretty unbelievable, and I don't mean to take another question from you, but we only have 5 minutes left. It's kind of hard not seeing Ovechkin in a game right now. I don't know about you guys, but it's grueling. But
listen, what Ovi's done, I don't have Ovi as a top 10 player of all time, and I don't really like doing general, like.
I agree with you, buddy. I agree with you 100%. Like, I wouldn't even put him maybe in the top 20.
Yeah, like he scores his goals on the power play one time. They're all the same. I get it. Listen, what he's done is amazing.
But he's the best goal scorer I've ever seen.
Him, Mike Bossy, like, again, different generations. But, yeah, the shit he has done is incredible. The best part about that whole thing, and this is nothing against Gretz in saying Mario is the best player I've ever seen. I think Gretz has said it in the past. You look at his numbers and 2,800 points plus, he wasn't even considered a goal scorer.
Right.
That's the crazy thing.
Right.
But yes, I never thought I'd see it done. Kudos to Alexander Ovechkin. Amazing. He's going to beat it. They're going to roll him out in a wheelchair, but we never thought we'd have this conversation this year.
I know.
The start he had.
Well, and you know what's impressive about him too, and you guys both know this, is that other than this injury, he's been very durable over his career. And he doesn't play it. He doesn't play in the perimeter. He's in there in the forecheck. He throws his weight around.
Yep. Absolutely.
And he's been durable. So, hey, a couple last things or one last thing for me. I've got to see Celebrini play here in St. Louis the other day. I saw another goal he scored against Telebuck last night. This kid's the real deal. Like, he's impressive, Barney.
Yeah, I watched him last year. And
he's a little bit got some old school in him.
Yeah. Great, wicked shot. But he's skilled. He's got some old school in him. Great passer. He's the rookie of the year. I don't think in the end it's going to even be close. I think he separates himself. He gets big minutes on a shitty team.
Yep.
But he's a difference maker. He's one of those guys that can change an organization. I watched him a lot last year in college. Now, he's the fucking real deal, man.
Well, you know who the real deal is? You, buddy. You are. I love you, Barney. And
I love you, buddy.
Listen, you kissed me after a little fight in the National Hockey League during a game. You can kiss me anytime you want, buddy.
Hey, 2024 now, it's the cool thing to do.
Yeah, it is the cool thing to do. And by the way, just like Seinfeld said it, there's nothing wrong with it.
There's nothing
wrong with it. And Barney, thanks for joining us, buddy.
Hey, I love you guys.
Have a great Christmas, pal.
You as well.
Call me when you're in Chicago or West Coast, buddy. I love you.
I will. Take care of all the kids. See you guys. Cheers.
See you, Barney. Buddy.
Take care.
Well, buddy, that's it for 2024. We'll miss next week. It's obviously Christmas Day.
Yep.
We should try to get together in Chicago. Well, we will see each other in Chicago.
Yeah, we'll see you at the Winter Classic. We'll see you out here during the Winter Classic. It's going to be a great game. Blues versus Blackhawks right here at Wrigley Field. It's going to be amazing. I'm so happy that you're going to be there. We will maybe tip a pint grab a bite, but there's no question. I wish everybody a very Merry Christmas. I wish everybody a Happy New Year. And there's, I'm proud. You're my present for Christmas.
Well,
that I got you on my podcast.
So. You've endured a lot this year in 2024, and the year has just got better and better and better and better for you. So I can't wait to see what 2025 brings.
Yeah, I've paved a new road, buddy. By the way, there's no exits on my road, buddy. So thanks to Whiskey in the Wild. Thanks to Protected Neff Guards and to Bet Online. We love you guys, what you do for us. And we love for everybody that listens. We really appreciate it. So from 2024 and Snipes and Stripes right here in No Filter, we say Happy New Year, Merry Christmas, and we love you.
See you
in 2025.
Bye-bye.